everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
CBN News terrorism analyst, investigative journalist, and acclaimed author of The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat, was way ahead of the curve when in his book he spoke about, quote, homegrown jihad, terrorism in our own backyard. Enter in, 2 years later, the Boston bombings by two young radicals emboldened and educated in the very backyard that they bombed and just down the street from the mosque they attended. So what's the big deal? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not even the tip of what is going on in our country today. As my next guest brilliantly exposes in his latest best-selling release called The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy. Would you welcome back to Testimony for part one of our two-part conversation, terrorism expert, author, and host of Stackleback on Terror, as seen on the Christian Broadcasting Network, and my good friend, Eric Stackleback. Eric, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, Jensine, so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on this broadcast today. Since your book's release, you have been in high demand and currently hold the number one position on Amazon.com for those who will want to get your book right up front, and they should. Eric, it is a must-read for every serious American wanting to protect our liberties, our freedom, our borders, and our families. So getting right to it, Eric, in part one of our time today, can you give our listeners a summation of what the Muslim Brotherhood is, why we need to be worried about them, and why their ideology is deadly?
Jensine, thank you so much for the flattering introduction. I appreciate it. It's great to be back with you. The reason I wrote this book about the Muslim Brotherhood is because they are the granddaddy of them all when it comes to modern Islamic terrorist groups. Jensine, the Muslim Brotherhood spawned Al-Qaeda. They created Hamas. And I make the point in the book, it may shock some people, but without the creation of the Muslim Brotherhood back in 1928 in Egypt, there would have been no 9/11. I say that without hesitation. Everyone behind that attack, from Osama bin Laden to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to the hijackers, before they formed, before they joined Al-Qaeda, they belonged to the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood is really the gateway drug to Islamic terrorism. And I make the point in the book, Jensine, that if there was a terrorist Mount Rushmore someplace in the deserts of Saudi Arabia, the Muslim Brotherhood's leaders would have their faces carved in it. This is where it all starts, with the Brotherhood. Every terrorist today, from Paris to Pakistan and beyond, owes a debt to the Muslim Brotherhood. They really popularized this modern-day notion of suicide bombing, martyrdom, dying for Allah, jihad against the infidel. All these things we hear today, all the terrorist madness we see today, can be traced back to the Brotherhood.
Wow. Now, in your book, you talk about the origins of the Brotherhood. They go back quite a long way, and why they think the way they think, and why, really, it's impossible to negotiate with them. So, next question. How has the Brotherhood been able to infiltrate all spheres of influence here in the U.S. abroad? What is their strategy?
You know, their strategy has been laid out in their own documents, Jensine, which the U.S. government has in its possession. I can't stress that enough. I actually share these secret documents in my book that the FBI, our own FBI, uncovered in 2004, Jensine, in a raid of a leading global Muslim Brotherhood operative's home just 10 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. Yes, folks, they are here. In those documents, the Muslim Brotherhood laid out a very sinister plan for America, really a three-pronged plan. Number one, what they're going to do is mass immigration, demographic jihad, increase their numbers in America, in Europe, in the West. Number two, build mosques from coast to coast. And we see an increase in America of mega mosques being built in all corners of the country, not just in New York City, Chicago, traditional gateway cities. We're seeing this in the Bible Belt, in the heartland. And the third way that the Muslim Brotherhood will infiltrate American society is to gain jobs in the halls of power, in the media, in academia, in government. And Jen C and I name names in the book of Muslim Brotherhood-connected individuals who are advising this administration, our government, on its counterterrorism and Middle East policies. No wonder our policies in the Middle East are a mess. We have the Muslim Brotherhood advising us. This is the epitome of the fox guarding the hen house. And real quick, in those same documents, Jen Sein, that I'm talking about, that again, our government has, this is the equivalent of having the Nazis' strategic documents during World War II. We have the Brotherhood's game plan in our possession, and they say that we are in America to destroy it from within. They make it clear why they are here, and make no mistake, they are here.
Wow. Now, in your book, Eric, there are some shocking facts about how the Obama administration has not only empowered but enabled the Muslim Brotherhood and spun, really, a false narrative to the American people. Can you expound?
Yeah, you know, they have basically, has this administration, Jen Sein, they have chosen the Muslim Brotherhood as their outreach partners in the Muslim world. Now, I recount in the book how I've interviewed Muslim Brotherhood operatives face-to-face. These guys are charming. They wear suits and ties. They're fluent in English. They're well-spoken. They're eloquent. They're Western-educated. They do not look like Al-Qaeda. And the Obama administration looks at the Brotherhood, and they see this moderate veneer, and they say, hey, we can use these guys as a counterweight to the really bad guys in Al-Qaeda. Now, this is crazy logic, Jen Sein, for a few reasons. As I mentioned earlier, the Brotherhood created Al-Qaeda. They share the same exact end game. The tactics are different. The Brotherhood will do it slowly. They move in the shadows, stealthily. In the book, I compare them to termites burrowing away at a host society, eating away at it from within. Al-Qaeda, hey, we know what they want, right? They want to blow you up now, kill you now. They want it now. But while the tactics are different, the end game for both the Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, and really every radical Islamic group, is the same. Islamic Sharia law, for one and all, whether we like it or not, and the return of that Islamic caliphate. Now, it's a tricky word, Jen Sein, that everyone listening needs to know. The caliphate, this is what every Islamic terrorist wants, ultimately. It's really a united Muslim states. It would be a union of every Muslim nation united militarily, politically, economically, sharing a good supply of the world's oil, speaking with one powerful voice at the UN against Israel, against America. That is what they want. That would be a formidable foe. The Brotherhood would like to lead this caliphate, although they did take a hit recently in Egypt.
Wow. In Chapter 3 of your book, entitled A History of Violence, you talk about the lack of knowledge regarding Al-Qaeda, the Brotherhood, Hamas, Hezbollah, on both sides of the aisle in Congress. Can you elaborate?
Jen Sein, the first rule of war is know your enemy. And I can tell you, I work in Washington, D.C. I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm inside the Beltway. I'm interviewing congressmen, senators, world leaders. And I can tell you that there is a profound ignorance of the nature of this Islamist enemy. Look, at the end of the day, terrorism is only a tactic. It is defined, it is driven by an ideology. That ideology is Islamism. That's what we are up against. We're not fighting Buddhists, Hindus, or Catholic nuns. We are fighting radical Islamists. And while not all Muslims, obviously, are radicals, there is a sizable chunk of the Muslim world that has declared war against us. We need to admit and acknowledge what we are up against. And every time there's a new terror attack, the Obama administration says, hey, move along, nothing to see here. It's just an isolated incident. No, it's part of a well-coordinated global jihad. And the Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, they're one and the same. They're indispensable. Different tactics, same end game. And the profound ignorance about the Muslim Brotherhood, about what they want. And what do they want? That caliphate I mentioned, Jensine. They want the destruction of Israel. They want America destroyed. This is what the Brotherhood wants, an Islamic world. And if our government officials were doing their homework, they would know this, and they wouldn't reach out to the Muslim Brotherhood. They would smash them and defeat them. Think back to the Cold War. Ronald Reagan, he devoured everything he could get his hands on about the Soviet threat, communism. By the time he became president, he won the Cold War because he had that knowledge. We do not have that today. No intellectual curiosity among our leaders, no intellectual honesty, and we are crippled by political correctness, and it's going to be the death of us if it doesn't change.
Yeah, that's very well said. You know, to me, that speaks of the spiritual, the real spiritual void in our country, because it clearly states in the Bible that those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:32. And God gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom from above. He gives us discernment. But are we in our word? Are we reading? Are we listening? Islam has been around for centuries. And in your book, you talk about this ideology of death that has been indoctrinated into every Muslim for over 1,400 years. So really, Eric, what can we expect? The other thing that I noticed in your book was this. Jihadists have no fear of death. In the Quran, they say it's better to die than to live. They are not gray. They're black, they're white, they're unified. And how does that stand up or stack up to Christianity when so many of the times we waffle, we're back and forth, we're divided? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Can you speak to this?
Yeah, and you know, Jensine, the other verse that comes to mind is, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I'll give you a great example of this contrast you discussed with Islam and Christianity, flabby Christianity today. Look at Europe. Case study. In my book, in several chapters, Jensine, I chronicle how I've walked the streets of radical Islamic enclaves in places like London, Brussels, Germany. And here's what I see. The native Europeans, remember, this is post-Christian Europe. Yeah, Europe was once the cradle of Christianity. The gospel went out from Europe. Christianity is vanishing in Europe. Atheism is skyrocketing on that continent. It's a hedonistic society in Western Europe. People aren't going to church. They'd rather go out and party and drink alcohol and engage in nonsense, quite frankly. They've really turned their backs on God. Then you have waves and waves of Muslim immigrants arriving to Europe's shores. They are filled with religious zeal, belief, and a clear-minded goal. And that goal is to destroy Europe. We will make this an Islamic continent. We will make the West Islamic through proselytizing and through immigration. And here they're coming in with that zeal and that mission.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Eric Stackelbeck, author of The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy. We are going to hear more from Eric next week as we explore in detail the radicalization of America through Islam, or at least their attempts to do so. Eric, thank you for being with us on Testimony. I look forward to hearing more next week. God bless you.
You too, Jensine. Thanks so much.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard from CBN News terrorism expert and author of The Terrorist Next Door and his latest, The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy, which exposes the lies, the corruption, and real agenda of an organization that has been mobilizing terror for nearly a century. And now, they are here to collect, big time,
from the United States, Israel, every professing Jew, Christian, and or anyone that opposes their deadly ideology, and all in the name of Allah. Are we at risk like never before? Is 9/11 and the Boston bombings just practice rounds for terrorists in training? And where are they being trained, and by whom? In his latest book, Eric Stackelbeck reveals the nature and strategy of an enemy within our own borders. And newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, they are not friendly. Are you a watchman on the wall for your country, for the soul of America, for your children? And if not you, then who? Here to talk about this and more in part two of our conversation today is acclaimed author, terrorism expert, and host of his own show, Stackelbeck on Terror, as well as frequent guest on Fox News, The Blaze TV, CNN, The Savage Nation, the guest host for Glenn Beck, the list goes on, CBN's own Eric Stackelbeck. Eric, welcome back to Testimony.
Jensen, great to be back with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being with us. Eric, last week you touched upon the origins, formation, and infiltration of an organization called the Muslim Brotherhood that you term as America's next great threat, but the political left, media, and the Obama administration term as, quote, moderates. And one might say, peace-producing entity seeking to bridge Islam with Christianity and other faiths for the greater good. But that's seemingly not the case in what you've been able to uncover in your over 12 years of intense investigations and one-on-one interviews with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda leaders all over this globe. They are, Eric, admittedly, haters of Israel, the little Satan, and the United States of America that they call the big Satan, and anyone opposing their jihadist ideology and epistle of what I call death. They tout it in their Quran, and they say it is the ultimate reward. So for this segment, Eric, I would like for you to go even deeper in revealing their strategy in the halls of Washington, in our schools, near our churches, and in every sphere of influence. Eric, we are all ears.
Yeah, Jensen, thank you so much. Look, when people talk about the Muslim Brotherhood being moderate, I pull my hair out. I'm not kidding. It's one of the reasons I wrote this book, Jensen, because the government, the mainstream media here in America and in Europe are telling us that the Muslim Brotherhood are reasonable chaps. We can work with these guys. They used to be radical, but they're not anymore. Well, let me tell you, Jensen, last time we talked about how the Muslim Brotherhood has spawned Al-Qaeda, created Hamas, responsible for all the terrorist violence, the Brotherhood's ideology, this ideology of suicide bombings, martyrdom, jihad, is what drives the whole modern-day Islamic jihad against America. From the very beginning, this group was anything but moderate. I recount in the book how the Muslim Brotherhood worked closely with the Nazis during the 1930s, collaborating with Hitler's war machine to extend the Final Solution from Europe to the Jews of the Middle East and North Africa. The Brotherhood also sent battalions to assist in the invasion of the miraculously reborn State of Israel in 1948. It's no wonder how they are the vanguard of global anti-Semitism now. We see the now-departed Muslim Brotherhood President Mohamed Morsi calling Jews the sons of apes and pigs and calling for Israel's destruction. This is who they are, Jensen. And how are they using that in America? I'll give you one example that I outline in a chapter of the book. One way they will infiltrate America is through mosques. Now, not every mosque is a terror hotbed. We know that. But many mosques, and I recounted in the book, and the book is meticulously footnoted, it's not just me spouting off, these are facts. Many mosques have been used to plot terror. Many mosques have Muslim Brotherhood ideology and ideologues behind them. And the Muslim Brotherhood's own documents, Jensen, talk about mosques as the beehive of the Muslim Brotherhood, the axis of their movement where battalions are supplied. This is how the Muslim Brotherhood views Islamic centers, mosques. Yet since the year 2000, we've seen the number of mosques in America double. That's right. In the past decade alone, we've skyrocketed from 1,200 mosques to over 2,200 mosques here in the U.S. That is astounding. I don't believe it's a coincidence, considering what the Muslim Brotherhood says about mosques, and all of this has unfolded since 9/11.
Wow. In your book, Eric, you talk about 29 organizations in the U.S. that are clearly Muslim Brotherhood run. Can you talk a little bit about that?
This is chilling, Jensine. In those documents which you're referencing, which we discussed last time, which the U.S. government uncovered in a raid back in 2004 of a leading Muslim Brotherhood operative's home, just minutes from Washington, D.C., those documents indeed name 29 leading American Muslim groups. Jensine, these are the folks you see on CNN and the New York Times quoted as moderate Muslim spokesmen. Well, one of those groups is called the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA for short. And ISNA, in the words of the Obama administration, is their, quote, favored Muslim outreach partner. We have leaders from ISNA in the White House meeting with Obama administration officials. We have one leader of ISNA. You know, I did a report for CBN about this, Jensine, a guy named Mohammed Majid. His father was a Muslim Brotherhood leader overseas, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We have photos in my CBN report of Mr. Majid with a front row seat right in front of President Obama at a Ramadan dinner at the White House last year. Why is this problematic? That ISNA is advising our government on its counterterrorism and Middle East policies? Well, number one, as you mentioned, ISNA is a Muslim Brotherhood front, one of those 29 organizations named by the Brotherhood itself as a Brotherhood-connected group. Number two, ISNA was named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history. Yet these are the folks linked to terror, supporting Hamas, who are advising the Obama administration on its counterterrorism policy. We are in deep trouble.
Eric, what does the Obama administration have to gain in supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and known al-Qaeda connections?
Well, I think there's a few things here, Jensine, and I talk about this in a chapter of the book about why the left helps and supports the Muslim Brotherhood. On one hand, you have the naive State Department bureaucratic types, the John Kerrys of the world, who see the Muslim Brotherhood as moderates. They say, hey, the Brotherhood's not blowing anyone up, at least yet. They wear suits and ties. They sound like charming fellows. Now, we can work with these guys. On the other end, you have really the revolutionary leftist track of the Obama administration, and that's a track I believe the president himself is on. And the radical leftists in this administration see the Brotherhood as kind of kindred spirits. Now, I know it sounds crazy, radical leftists working with radical Islamists, but these strange bedfellows share a common enemy, Jensine, Judeo-Christian Western civilization. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The radical left, radical Islam, they hate Jesus. They hate Judeo-Christian traditional values so much that they will work together to undermine them. I have an entire chapter on this in the book, Jensine. Shocking to me, in my research of the book, to see how the Iranian regime, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Brotherhood, supported the Occupy Wall Street movement, which we saw back in 2011, 2012. People listening will probably remember, Jensine, this was communists, anarchists, against the U.S. capitalist system. Well, the radical Islamists liked it. They thought Occupy was great, and they said, hey, anything that weakens America is good. That's how the left and the Islamists view each other. The funny thing is, actually the horrific thing, is that if the Islamists got their way, the first ones with their heads on the chopping block would be the left.
Eric, in our remaining few minutes here, I'd like for you to talk about why you feel you've been called to do what you are doing. And then lastly, would you tell our listeners what we can effectively do, what every American and patriot can effectively do to stop the spread of jihad, Sharia law, and all of what that entails in our own country?
Yeah, Jensen, you know, in the intro you mentioned being, who's a watchman on the wall? Well, I challenge everyone listening to be a watchman, a watchwoman on the wall. You know, I think to the Bible, I think of 1 Chronicles, and it talks about men of Issachar. Now, these were an elite group of 200 who advised King David during a time of great trouble for Israel. The Bible says they knew the signs, they knew the times, and they knew what Israel should do about it. We need men and women of Issachar today. And I know that God has put me on this earth to do this line of work, Jensine, to be in this fight. There's not a doubt in my mind. I was in Israel the first time I was ever in Israel a few years ago. God clearly spoke to my heart when I was in Israel and just reaffirmed this is what I need to be doing. And it can be dangerous. You could have a bullseye on your back, but I leave all the consequences to God. I just try to follow the prompting and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What can Americans do? What can the average American do? I'll start with the U.S. government, actually, Jensine. Number one, the U.S. government can designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group. Make it official. Number two, those 29 Muslim American groups we were talking about, that are Brotherhood fronts, essentially, shut them down. They are fundamentally opposed to the U.S. Constitution. They are seditious groups. For the average American, number one, stay informed. You don't have to be a news junkie, but you owe it to yourself and your family to at least follow what is going on in the world. Number two, make your voice heard. Congressmen, state senators, local senators, make your voice heard on these issues. We still have free speech and a right to speak out and make our voice heard in this country, and politicians want votes, so they will listen. Number three, there's never been a better time in terms of social media, in terms of shows like yours, Jensine, and Facebook, Twitter, to connect with like-minded people. And you look at what the Tea Party did. You look at the Tea Party that made such a difference, even as Tea Party members running for Congress now, running for office, so we can be effective in this realm of radical Islam in the Middle East. And lastly, pray, pray, pray. It works. And our nation has been shaking its fist at God. If we continue to do that, I fear that God will lift his hedge of protection. We need to pray. We need to humble ourselves and come back to God. It's our only chance at the end of the day.
That's beautifully said. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Eric Stackelback, author of the best-selling The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy. You can get Eric's book at www.cbn.com, at amazon.com, and follow Eric on Facebook, on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric has this by the juggler, and you need to know what's in his book, The Brotherhood, America's Next Great Enemy. Eric, thank you for being with us on Testimony. Keep up your phenomenal work all across this nation. Thank you, and God bless you.
Jensine, thanks so much. God bless you. Anytime.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening. And please join us again for Testimony.